You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, how many languages do you speak? One, right? And only kinda? You'll be inspired to learn yourself another one or two languages real good this hour. Plus, plants for the holidays and gardening in December with Nick Fedorov. Let's meet the friends. With a snapshot of today's news, it's Aaron Myers.
Is it okay to crop someone out of a photo? Well, one celeb thought so, but the backlash came quick. I'll tell you who did what coming up.
Ready for the holidays with bells on, Jay Campidonia is here.
The greatest Christmas tree ever built is in Rochester, New York. I got details.
And dispensing fascinating facts daily, it's Chris Martin.
It feels like technology is invading every part of our lives anymore, and wait until you hear which service machine is going to be upgraded next.
Okay, let's get things started. And again, thanks for tuning in to this here program, and we'll start with you, Aaron. So who's cropping who?
Well, Kim Kardashian, I guess, was out over the weekend, and she was with her daughter, North, and they took a picture. Well, I guess Kim, or Nori as they say, Kim liked the photo, but just wanted it to be of herself. So she cropped out her daughter and posted the picture on Instagram. Yes. And so then
something screw loose.
Yeah.
That girl.
Backlash came really quick. So she, you know, got on Twitter and said things like, wait, is this really news that I posted a selfie and cropped my daughter out? LOL. And then she tried to backtrack a little, saying her eyes were closed and I was feeling my look. Can I live?
Oh my God. This woman needs to be off the face of the earth from now on.
When you're a mom, or a dad for that matter, your life is supposed to revolve around the kids.
Exactly.
Any photo you take with your child in it immediately becomes a photo of your child.
Right.
You are unnecessary in that picture.
Oh no, but apparently not. I mean, she looks, you know, very Kim Kardashian-ish.
Oh God. May I ask a dumb question? Have we seen the kid?
Yeah.
Of course. There's photos. I didn't know if she was like
protecting the baby.
I was giving her the benefit of the doubt.
No.
Now that we know this, that she's already sold the photos to whatever magazine.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
she is a snob.
No, good looking kid, really.
Had put a picture up of the baby and what the baby had been wearing that weekend. And she's carrying a Chanel bag at like a year old.
I was feeling my look.
Comments from her followers on the Twitter. Seriously, you can't even let your own child in a picture with you? Hashtag selfishness. LMAO, if she loved her child, she wouldn't have cropped out the pic.
True.
Here's another one. Narcissism at its finest.
Yep.
Crop game strong. Poor North, your mom would rather show off a brick wall than you. Shame. Crop game strong.
Maybe. Is there a brick wall behind her?
Could be.
Yeah, she's jealous of her baby. The baby's so cute, maybe. A little competition going on
upstaged.
There.
Yep. Well, oil up, get naked.
Yeah,
Been there, done that. It's not shocking anymore. She needs to think of something that's really going to get people interested.
It's over.
Do a math problem.
Ooh.
That would fascinate everyone.
That would be breaking
news.
Just
a YouTube channel of Kim K doing math. All right. Here's some math for you. Every time you step on the scale during the holidays,
it goes up. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have 5 tips for you to maybe keep it at least even and not rising. Nothing earth-shattering here, but they say basic things. Don't try to lose weight. Just try to maintain throughout the holidays. So be realistic. You're going to eat. You're going to probably have some champagne or eggnog. So don't try to like go on a diet right now. Mm. Eat breakfast and lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
So keep your metabolism going.
Fudge sandwiches for lunch?
Oh my God, those are the best.
But then you eat like tuna
with the marshmallow
and rice
on the bread.
For dinner.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, forget about it. I've done that. God, I've been a bachelor way too long.
Oh, choose your calories wisely. So don't go for the things that are normal, like crackers or chips and salsa. Think bacon-wrapped dates and gingerbread cookies.
Oh.
So pick the things that are different.
Dates are good. I'll tell you, they really are.
Well,
if you haven't had one, they look like cockroaches. But
that's why you wrap them in bacon.
But they're pure sugar. I mean, they're delicious.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Enjoy the splurge. So if you want to have another cocktail or have ice cream on your pie, do it. And then on Sunday, after having a whole weekend or the holiday, try to get back on track.
That's when you purge.
Yeah.
You know what I did?
Oh, no. Seriously. That's when you run for an hour.
Okay. You know what I did? I downloaded the Jay Campedonia shaming app.
Oh.
And every time you go to eat, you hit the button and it just shames you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just sound bites from the show. And he'll actually just shame you into
what
not
an idiot.
Desiring food anymore.
You sure you want that fatty? All right. That's good.
Yeah.
We should market that. I like that idea.
There's a good idea. All right. Add that to the good ideas list that we'll forget about tomorrow. There you go. All right, you were talking about things that being not normal there a moment ago, Aaron, and I had no idea people were doing this to their pets, and it does not seem normal to me.
No, I mean, and people do weird things with pets. I cop to it too. Like you put them in clothes, or you know, I've seen people dye their pets' hair. Well, apparently, or fur. Apparently, in New York, Governor Cuomo has now signed a law banning the tattooing and piercing of pets.
Oh my gosh!
People are tattooing their pets.
Yes. Apparently, around in 2011, a Brooklyn tattoo artist tattooed their pet while it was under having surgery.
Yeah.
And
like
go,
one tattoo or like sleeves?
It just a tattoo, like
oh,
one,
okay.
I think.
Like
but
one, an anchor with mom across
yeah,
it.
Probably. And then they posted, one of the reasons my dog is cooler than yours, because she has a tattoo
Please.
Now.
Of course.
Now, Jay, you've got some ink on you.
I do.
It doesn't hurt at all to have a tattoo, does it?
Well, it did on my neck, but other than that, I mean, it was fine. But if I was knocked out.
Yeah, but you were drunk at the time.
No, I was not.
Come on.
And I was
you
not.
Chose it.
I really wasn't.
Just
you
buzz.
Chose it, the
yeah,
tattoo.
Actually, if you have a good tattoo artist,
yeah.
they will not give you a tattoo if you've been drinking.
Yeah.
Because your blood is thin and it makes it harder for them to tattoo and you will regret it.
Yes.
Because the lines won't be straight.
Mm-hmm.
It just becomes a giant
mess. A bloody mess.
Exactly. So if you have a good tattoo artist,
yeah.
they'll know. They'll ask.
Yeah. All right. Good. Don't tattoo your pets. Come on.
No, they don't get to pick that.
World we live in.
They don't understand the pain.
Mm-mm.
That we have to have a law on the books. Don't tattoo your pets. I swear.
What do you think pets think? Why are you hurting me?
Right.
Of course. Well,
but it was knocked out. I get it.
Or worse, let's make you even more guilty. What did I do wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
With the sad puppy dog eyes staring at you.
The piercing part is kind of intriguing. I kind of like to see a dog's ear just pierced out like Lenny Kravitz's all the way from the bottom to the top.
Six studs or
interesting.
Yeah, okay. I guess I'm with you on that. Okay.
Poor puppies.
Plus, it's their ears. It's just cartilage.
Come on, Chris.
We'll try you first and see what you think.
All right. Let's completely destroy everything that's good about Christmas. And
go to Jay Campedonia.
And go to Jay Campedonia with this story that somehow involves beer.
It is the greatest Christmas tree I've ever seen. Now, I am a huge Jack Daniels fan, and every year they make a barrel Christmas tree. There's like 100 barrels, and they make a Christmas tree out of it outside the plant in Tennessee. Well, there's one that might even be better. Genesee Brewing Company in Rochester, New York, stacked 300 beer kegs to create a 23-foot-tall Christmas tree. Is that not rad?
I'd tap that.
I like it. So the workers, they're actually...
What's the matter with you?
They're actually empty kegs.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. They use 600 feet of LED rope, and they have a spinning sign on the top, Genesee Brew Co.
Ooh.
And it's spinning across.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Evidently, people are, you know, stopping by and taking pictures of it. I sent a small clip to the Web Munchkins.
Yeah.
Is it up on the website yet?
Let me look. Yep, there it is on the show fun page.
Today is December 16th when we're doing the show live. On December 18th, they're going to have a giant public keg tree lighting ceremony.
Oh.
And I'm sure there's going to be plenty of samples. Ooh. So, Phil, in our budget, do we have a plane ticket to Rochester, New York?
I hope so, so we can raise a toast. Jingle bells.
I like it.
Yeah. All right.
Very cool.
Okay. Do they have beer and vending machines yet?
No, but oh, my God, they need to.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, that would be the best. Chris, what's the latest in vending machine news?
Well, it's changing all the time. I mean, I remember when Jay was doing a story about like microwave burritos and vending machines,
yeah.
Which was genius.
The burrito box.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now there's the new Loose X2 Touch TV vending machine, and it's being released in the United Kingdom. This thing uses facial recognition technology while you are ordering your vending product.
Weird.
It actually identifies each user. It accesses your age, medical records, and vending purchase history.
Oh, how does God. It get your medical records? Isn't that something that's private?
I don't know. I don't know if you have to upload it or if it just goes through the back door of Google and figures out everything you've ever uploaded.
they're one step closer to taking over the world, the machines.
And actually, if your snack choice doesn't fit your profile, the X2 won't even dispense it to you.
Really?
Oh, see, and then it'll have Jay's voice going, fatty, fatty, fatty. Right.
Profile.
Listen here, Lardo. Do you really need that extra bag of chips?
How much of a relationship with a vending machine do you need for it is to establish what your profile is?
Well, let's say this. Let's say that your Facebook profile is public and not private.
Yeah.
No reason it can't have access to it, right?
Right.
So, upside, this machine can keep kids from buying cigarettes, hospital patients from eating sugary or salty treats. And
but how does it know?
How do it know? That's a great question. But that there is the downside, and that's if you just updated your Facebook profile, that profile that you're dieting, it's probably not going to drop that Twinkie down the chute that you're trying to sneak
come
in.
Come on. I want a Twinkie. Give me the Twinkie! Yeah.
Damn it.
They're called smart vending machines, by the way. Coca-Cola is actually on board with this as
well. Oh, they don't sound very smart to me.
Like there's a second word after smart I think you need to add.
I didn't even think there was still a market for vending machines.
You they know, still exist. Them? They use credit card swiping now, too.
Yeah,
that'll get you in trouble.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
There's an ice cream vending machine where I work during the day, and you can get a Choco Taco.
Choco Taco.
Yeah, they are dangerous, my man.
Oh.
It's
great
awesome.
Unless they're expired, and then the core around it is like cardboard at that point.
Yeah. Hey, you know, every year in Cleveland, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announces its inductees, and it gets it mostly wrong every year. But this year, they got it mostly right, I think. Maybe you'll agree with me, and we'll review the inductees to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Rock and roll. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Aaron, Jay, and Chris are here, and we're glad you are as well. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announced next year's six inductees last night, and we want to run through some of them, play a couple of clips for you in case you've forgotten who these people are, because every year, you know, a lot of groups get in, and I always question, that's not rock and roll, or is it? So there's the debate, and then there's some bands that get in. It seems like, man, they're just getting out of high school. Don't they need to, you know, be around for another 10, 20, 30 years before they even get considered? So maybe you'll disagree or agree with this year's inductees. And first one, I think wholeheartedly we can agree, and he just passed away last year in October, from the Velvet Underground, Lou Reed. We don't have Lou Reed, but you know his stuff. Well, that's all right. You know his song.
Walk on the Wild Side.
Of course. Everybody knows that song. But here's one that you might argue with because of the longevity question. Haven't been around as long as some of the other groups that we think hands down qualify, and we're talking about Green Day.
Don't wanna be an American idiot. Don't
What do you think? Pretty good. Good inductee, or
it sounds. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of weak, if you ask me. What is it? Three chords. That's what Green Day surrounded all their.
A lot of the great bands did wonderful things with three chords. What was it John Lennon said about three chords? There was a quote about that, right? I forget what it was. We're all scratching our head.
That could be considered genius to be able to make good songs with three chords if you look at it like that.
Yes.
I think Lennon said it's all you need, by
positive
the way.
Paula. Quit it.
Oh, maybe that was love. But I do want to say I think Green Day, if you look at their body of work, I think that they deserve to get in. They've got many years of great work. I kind of put them in the same category as like Red Hot Chili Peppers, who I don't know if they're in. I don't think they are, but I hope they get in someday.
They probably are in.
Mike's giving me the nod.
They're in already. Yeah. See? And they've been around for like, 20 years, right? 15, 20 years?
Yeah, I don't know. Green Day, they reminded me of a bunch of punks and a bunch of fake punks that wanted to be punk.
I've always said that about Green Day, that they were pretending to be punk. But, they pull it off. They sell a lot of records. And I'm told now that you have to be around for 25 years before you're considered.
Okay.
All right. Now, somebody who's done a lot with three chords, and we talk about the blues, and very often the blues is three chords. Or they'll add 1.5 chords if you get the little blues turn in there, if you know what I'm talking about, you guitar players. And I was lucky enough to see this guy in concert in Los Angeles back in the late 80s before he died in a helicopter crash. See if you recognize this. Where you've heard about love and giving sight to the blind. My baby loving cause the sun to shine. And she must be a little thing. Of course, that's Stevie Ray Vaughan.
That is awesome.
With his Austin, Texas style of blues. Just
so
wonderful guitar player and died way too young.
He that album that song came off of was the soundtrack to the 2005 NASCAR Nintendo game.
Really?
There you go.
And you had that game?
I did.
Oh, there you go. How'd you do on that?
I did fairly well, but then that's what made me go and buy the album. Yeah. I didn't have any idea who Stevie Ray Vaughan was until I bought the video game.
Wow, that's funny.
Just a lot of great music. And talk about three chords and being ripped out of your home as a teenage girl. A member of the Runaways, and then later becoming a big star in her own right. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts will be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And back when I was in elementary school, I think third grade, we were sitting in the classroom, and it was one of those cloudy days where the sun was coming in and out of the clouds, or the clouds were coming in and out, and I was the kind of the class clown. We're sitting there. The teacher says, okay, everybody put your heads down on your desks. I'm going to be gone for a couple of minutes. So I waited. The sun got covered with clouds, and all of a sudden, with my head down, I started singing this, and everybody started cracking up.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm.
Teacher walked in, everybody's laughing. She wanted to know who did it.
That's good.
That's Bill Withers, by the way. Lean on Me, Just the Two of Us. You know all these songs. Another inductee for the next year, and also the Paul Butterfield Blues Band. So,
but how is, I mean, I love Bill Withers. I love the tune, but how is that rock and roll?
Well, see, there's
like, isn't there an R&B Hall of Fame?
That's what I was wondering too. Because what are the requirements to be considered rock and roll?
Well, there should be like a boy band.
There are disco bands.
That should be the disco Hall of Fame.
There are rap artists in there. It's all sorts of things. So there's the discussion. What is rock and roll? Is it just any kind of music that?
Well, the rap artists I'm cool with if they partner like Run DMC and Aerosmith.
I think if it's any kind of music that encourages drug use or sex.
All of it is what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, in that case.
So the hall would be empty.
Yeah. You see, Mozart might say that his music encouraged sex, so you never know. Would that be considered?
Oh, it does.
Does it?
No, I don't know.
All right. Okay. Let's see. Aaron, we had that story last week about the lady that put a ring on a Salvation Army bell.
Yes.
You have an update for us?
I do have an update. The woman had dropped it in there anonymously. She had hoped to get, I think it was worth almost $2,000. She hoped somebody would buy it for more. Well, somebody, a former Salvation Army bell ringer, actually paid $21,000 for that engagement ring and wedding band so they can buy toys for kids. And the woman also wants to return the ring and wedding band to the woman who donated it because they're both widows. So she wants to give it back. So kind of a nice ending to that story.
How about that?
That is a great story. You know, speaking of rings, this guy in Britain, would you pay $21,000 for this? He allegedly robbed a jewelry store, and as he was being tackled by police, he swallowed it.
Uh-oh.
Well, police can't prove it, so they're waiting.
They've got the sifter ready to go?
They're waiting. Yeah, evidently it's an 18-karat white gold ring. The ring itself costs $14,000.
Ooh. 18, that's pretty big.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge. And what'd you say? It was the Salvation Army?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm kind of a Goodwill guy myself. Can you imagine this? Dropping something off. Guy at the Goodwill opens it up, and in Indiana, they opened up a box and they found the cremated remains of someone.
Ooh.
They don't know who dropped it off. They're trying to locate whoever dropped it off. They're looking at surveillance camera, but I mean, it's like, oh, look, it's a vase, and you open it up, and
there's ashes everywhere with little bone fragments inside.
Oh, gosh.
No, that's horrible. Who gets rid of their family like that? Oh.
Who knows?
Maybe an accident.
Yeah. Maybe it was just an ashtray, and the whole thing's misunderstanding.
There we go.
I was picking up our vacuum cleaner yesterday because every year we get it serviced. It's part of the contract, and there was a guy there buying a Christmas gift. He was buying a vacuum cleaner.
Mm.
Guys, new study. Top 11 worst gifts husbands and boyfriends have given women. Socks, bath salts, chocolate, perfume, body spray, toiletries, gift cards, kitchenware, cash. My favorite, windshield wipers.
But they come installed, honey.
And a sewing kit. Are those all great gifts?
Those are horrible.
I still, I don't know, I'm turned on the perfume. Isn't the perfume okay?
It depends on what kind of perfume.
Expensive.
Because a lot of those are kind of things you could just go, oh, it's Christmas, I'm going to Walgreens.
Yeah.
You know, one other thing you don't get them is a watch on Christmas.
No.
Yeah, because there's a clock on the stove.
Oh! All right. Comments at philhewlettandfriends.com. That's the email. Hey, sure it's winter, but you need to get your garden on. That's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Welcome back. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. And never mind that it's cold, rainy, snowy, depending where you are. You still need to spruce up the place with some potted plants inside or some actual landscaping outside. What do you put in the dirt that's going to survive all the way into springtime? That's what I want to know. Joining us live is the master of all things green, Nick Fedoroff.
Hey, Philster, how you doing, dude?
Absolutely wonderful now that you're here, Nick, and thank you. Am I out of my mind, or is it okay to plant a garden or landscape at this time of the year?
You are crazy out of your mind. What's wrong with you? It's football season, you dog. Let's talk about those Dodgers.
Yeah, right. Okay. Let's plant some AstroTurf. What's the matter with you?
Hey, you know what? It's really interesting because this could actually be one of the busiest growing seasons around. This time of the year, people really need to be doing kind of what you said. In fact, I'm going to marry two ideas what you said. You mentioned indoor plants and you mentioned outdoor landscaping. Well, why don't we landscape indoors?
Okay, what do you mean?
There's no reason why we can't do that. Well, through the magic of plants, you can take plants, if you have a super dark corner or if you have a super bright corner, it doesn't really matter. It could be under a stairwell. It could be any place inside your house that either is unusable or maybe you want to make it a focal point where you could actually bring in. Now, hold on to this. What you could do is you could actually bring in bricks. You don't have to cement them in. You could bring in bark where you put the bark right on top, not the roo-roo kind of bark. And, you know, first what you do is you put plastic down.
Yeah.
And once you have your plastic down, then you could make a little brick border. And you could do this so inexpensively. Just go to your local hardware store or wherever they sell that kind of stuff. And depending on how large it is, you don't have to plan it out and all this kind of stuff. And then you just make a little border. You put some bark in there. And then you start incorporating plants. Now, here's the fun part about this. If you are really desiring, say, like a wilderness kind of a situation, like for instance, you live in a concrete forest, well, why not bring a little bit of the wilderness in?
Yeah.
So what we do is that we bring in like there's dwarf plants where there are pines and there's boxwoods and there's plants that a photinia, for instance. These are also plants.
A faux what?
Yeah, I know. You do that and you got to clean it up, right?
So exactly.
Let's not go to that. Let's not go to that one. Photinia, it's called. Photinia. Photinia. Photinia.
Okay.
Anyway, so you have the photinia, you have the boxwood, you have the pine. They all have different texture to the leaves. You could put these inside and you could mound, leave them in the container that you bought them in.
Yeah.
Mound up the bark.
The bark.
Up against the container.
Yeah.
And then get yourself one of these fake kind of, deer animals. There's woodland animals you can get. Get yourself a little owl. Stick an owl in there. You get get a fake little chipmunk or a squirrel.
Or an elf.
Or, yeah, you know, that's kind of stretching it now.
Well, I don't know. It's starting to sound a little, you know, like going out into the woods to find your Christmas tree.
Well, this right here, I'll tell you, get yourself your elf, get yourself a Santa, do those kind of things. And the best part is that if you do it right now, these plants will last about 2 months before you have to take them outside, get them some direct sunlight, convalesce them a little bit.
And by then, it's almost springtime.
It really is. Take them, put them in the ground. You're rocking and rolling. That right there is a great idea. Another thing you do is if you want something that is called a winter planter, maybe you live in a condo, an apartment, you just don't have the room. Needless to say, this time of the year, poinsettias, they're the hot ticket. So what you could do is get yourself a larger-ish kind of container, and it could be rectangular. It could be round. It could be oblong. It could be whatever configuration you want. Something that's at least about 6 inches deep. You fill it up with soil, and then in fact, you don't even have to have a hole on the bottom for something like this. Typically, containers I like to have drainage coming up because hey, it's the holidays. We're gonna bypass that, doggone it. And what we'll do is that you take this thing. And we're talking something that may be about 2-3 feet wide and maybe a foot and a half deep, 2 feet deep. Again, let your imagination run wild. I recently did something on television where I just went down to Home Depot and I got it's a single sack cement plastic. And it cost like $8 for the thing. And what they do is that you put a sack of cement in there, and you mix it, and it's just a big old plastic container. That's all it is. Use a Tupperware, for goodness sakes. I don't care.
Yeah.
Put it wherever you're going to put it. You can get yourself sun plants. You can put yourself shade plants. Plant right into this. Pack it to the gills with plants. Have them oozing over the container to make it look like they're flopping out, and it's been there for a while.
Do they like being that crammed in together like that? Don't their roots compete?
No, because we're not going to be keeping them in there for a very long period of time.
Yeah.
And this is America, doggone it. We're going to do what we want to do. All right?
Now we're talking.
So what we do, we pack these things in here. Don't even worry about the roots being compacted or anything like that. You're going to water very little. As a matter of fact, what you'll do is give it one watering just so the soil is moist. And then what I'd like you to do is for the next week, at least every single week, get yourself a little hand pump sprayer, just one of those little jobbers,
yeah.
And miss the plants.
Mm-hmm.
Just miss the plants.
Hey, Nick. I'm curious, too. Speaking about sprayers, you were talking about putting plastic down and then mulching over the top. What's your stance on weed killers? Are you on the environmentalist side? Or are you saying, hey, let's just spray the ground before we put our plastic down, make sure nothing's going to pop up?
I believe it was called IPM.
IPM.
A little bit different than from PMS, okay? All right, that'll get you into trouble. IPM won't. IPM stands for Integrated Pest Management. You do whatever you can organically,
mm-hmm.
naturally, biologically, before you bring in any kind of nuclear warfare.
Yeah.
And because there are steps, and I got to tell you something, if the truth was known, if there weren't chemicals, then we'd have malaria today.
That's right.
We'd have some pretty nasty diseases.
Yeah.
Okay, they used them how they felt that they could have used them back then. Today, it's a different mindset, and We use this IPM technology, integrated pest technology, because what it does, it is an extremely safe way of doing it.
All right, I'm going to give you a couple of plants, and then you tell me how to use this IPM. Two pepper plants side by side in pots. One absolutely flourishes. It's a shishito pepper. The other, decimated by aphids. They're next door. They're right next door. That one's a Tabasco pepper. I don't know if the types of peppers has anything to do with it, but one completely decimated, the other left alone to flourish.
Yeah, you know, that's they're in the same family.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that they're in the same family. One has a weaker immune system than the other.
So this IPM thing, how do you get rid of the aphids?
Well, the first aphids, let me tell you, those right there are probably the easiest to get rid of. They're also one of the trickiest in the sense that if you don't catch them, you're going to get other problems. If you've got ants coming into those peppers,
yeah,
chances are it was because of the aphids. If you have something called black spot hitting the plants, chances are it was because of the aphids.
Hmm.
So it's a really interesting circle. When you can catch it in that aphid stage, one of the things that you're going to do is after you wash your dishes, mm-hmm, you take that soapy dishwater, and hopefully you strained out all the spaghetti, and you splash it on your plants.
Oh, on the leaves and the branches.
On the leaves, on the branches. And the reason why this works is this. Aphids have what they call an ectoskeleton. That's a fancy word meaning that they breathe through their bodies.
Yeah.
So when you take something like liquid dish soap or some water that's been spiked by liquid dish soap, or like I said, this dishwater that you have, and that's all you really need. What, you got like a couple of gallons of water, gallon and a half of water, and you have a couple of squirts? That's all you need.
Huh.
You take it, you splash it on your plants. When it dries, it's going to leave behind a soap scum in their breathing apparatuses, i.e. their bodies, i.e. this ectoskeleton. And what you got to do is you listen really closely, because when that stuff dries, you're going to hear these aphids screaming in horror as they suffocate and they drop to the ground.
How exciting.
Murderer you.
I thought they were going to wheeze.
Oh.
And in fact,
aphids.
I didn't know we were going to go to such a brutal a place, because I thought maybe the soap had something to do with aphids not having non-skid feet or something like that.
They slip, fall down, break their neck.
Yeah.
Hey, can you imagine something like that? And all you hear is, help me, help me.
Exactly. All right, I want to talk curb appeal just for a second here, Nick.
Sure.
Which plants are hardy enough to plant outside to withstand the pummeling rain and still look nice and perhaps last into February or March?
Ooh, all depends, of course, where you're at in the U.S. of A. You know, anything that...
Zone 23, right? Is that where we are?
I actually don't plant. I don't plant by zones. I don't believe in zones. Number one.
Oh.
Number one, it's because the government came up with it.
Oh, I thought Sunset House did.
No. It's called the U. That's a great question, though. It's called the USDA Zone Hardiness Map.
Oh.
Yeah, and the USDA actually came up with it as the Department of Agriculture, and they're pretty much a bunch of buffoons.
You good?
Because it changes all of the time. It's a good guideline, don't get me wrong. But and let's just say you lived in some place like Southern California.
Yeah.
All right, and let's just say that you have two pepper plants that are growing side by side in containers. Okay, can you think of that scenario?
Yeah, I think I've seen it before.
Okay, now imagine the plants. Maybe there's no aphids on the plant, but one is weaker looking than the other, everything else being equal. That might be because you have something called a microenvironment. Oh. And the best way to know what your microenvironment is all about is if you were to get up early in the morning, preferably not on a wet day, and you strip down to your skivvies, mm-hmm, or at least don't wear a long sleeve shirt.
Yeah.
Walk from the back of your yard to the front of your yard slowly. And with each step, feel, I'm talking like 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, feel how the weather actually changes. These are weather patterns. These are micro weather patterns. You may feel a little burst of air. You may feel something cold. You may feel something warmer. Now imagine this little burst of air, this stuff that you got going on, this the warmth, the coolness. Imagine plants being in that.
Yeah.
And if they're not acclimated to that particular area like that, one could suffer while the other one is just perfect and doing fine.
Wow, these microenvironments here, it sounds to me like when I do that, when I try that tomorrow, I'm going to walk through the backyard and listen for the neighbors shrieking and calling the authorities on me. And Nick Fedoroff, thanks. What a wonderful time talking with you. Thingsgreen.com is the website. He's also linked on our links page, and you could see his beautiful picture on our regular contributors page, which is in the About section at philhewlettandfriends.com. There you go. Get your garden on for December. And December, by the way, I don't know if you knew this, it is Learn a Foreign Language Month. I know what you're saying. Why even bother? What's the matter with you, huh? You're some kind of a lazy slob? Why even bother? I'll tell you why I bother. And all the doors that open up, we're going to open up life for you. That's coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, before the break, I mentioned December is Learn a Foreign Language Month, and I admit it, I was a little hard on you. I'm sorry for calling you a lazy slob. But please, it's time that you and I learned another language. I mean, really, folks in other countries know how to speak English almost universally, and they speak two or three other languages as well. So let's get some more perspective on this. Matt Rusling is a journalist who's been published in the New York Times, USA Today, Christian Science Monitor, and currently works for China's number one news agency, Xinhua. And he joins us live in English. Matt, hello. How many languages do you speak?
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for having me on the show. Yeah. I speak fluent Japanese, fluent German, I would say intermediate Korean, and I'm learning Chinese, so I do that in the evening.
I Chinese.
Show off.
Yeah, right. Chinese does, Chinese does not seem easy to learn.
I'm not a show-off. I'm forced to learn Chinese because my wife is from China, and yeah. I want to talk to her parents, so that's the reason.
Oh, yeah, because it's disrespectful otherwise. So is it true that once you learn one language, you can quickly pick up other languages in that same general family?
That is true. In my case, I think it was true for one reason is because I learned a lot of efficient ways to learn a language when I was learning German. I figured out over about 6 months what didn't work. So then I started on focusing on what worked, and what I found was that those kind of methods worked later on in other languages that I wanted to learn.
And so when you learn German, do you learn the little variables like the Swiss German or the Austrian style or anything like that?
I learned standard German. I tried to learn Swiss German. Didn't work out very well. I mean, it's like a whole different ballgame.
Yeah. So when you're working as a journalist, I imagine you gain access to sources and places to better help you get a story. Is that right?
Right. And especially in D.C., knowing a foreign language is really helpful just because, look, you know, we're all people wandering around on this planet. If you're living if you're from a foreign country in the United States, you would probably warm to someone a lot quicker if they speak your language and know something about your culture. They'd probably trust you a little bit more, too. And that's been my case.
What about your professional or maybe even your social life, your personal life? Has your multilingual prowess helped you there?
I think it has because I live in D.C. It's very multinational here, and a lot of my friends are foreign nationals. Actually, I would say about 80%.
How about that? I know that there's some kind of a stat. I forget exactly what it is, but here in California, they say if you speak English and Spanish, twice as many jobs are opened up to you if you speak Spanish. Have you ever been in a pickle, maybe a rough situation, maybe faced with jail time if you didn't say the right thing in the right tongue?
I've never been faced with jail time, but when I was in Cambodia, I knew a couple of words in Cambodia to make a joke to a police officer who wanted to fine me because I was driving a moped motorcycle without the ownership paper. So,
oh gosh.
Yeah. I got out of that. I had to give him a few dollars.
What was the joke?
It was something, it was kind of a tongue-in-cheek tongue twister that's common over there.
Oh, but not common here. So it would be funny there, but not here. I got you. So yeah. You've got all these languages in your head. I don't know how you keep them straight. Which language do you think in? English?
Yeah, definitely think in English, especially because I'm in the United States. I have never actually, I wouldn't say I've actually thought in one of the foreign languages I know, but I've dreamt in foreign languages. Ooh. When I was in Japan, I had several dreams over the course of the 3 years when I was there, where I was dreaming in Japanese and would kind of wake up thinking, I can't, I don't think in Japanese, but I've dreamed in Japanese. So I thought that was a little fun.
Interesting stuff. I don't know how you keep them all straight when you've got them all in there, but here's I think the pressing question. Do you ever play that trick when you're around people who rudely start speaking in their native tongue right there in front of you? Maybe they're talking about you, thinking you won't understand what they're saying, and you play it coy until the last minute and you say something to them in their language as you're walking away.
I've allowed those situations to build up over time with people that I know. I know who have been talking about me, and then I'll recall. Hey, do you remember a month ago you said this about me?
Yeah, right. That is beautiful. I love that. All right. So if you were to give the advice to somebody who's a monolinguist, which is about 90% of Americans, I imagine, what would you suggest? Is it ever too late to learn a language? Because it seems difficult.
It is difficult. I would say it's never too late to learn a language. I'm an average guy of average intellect. The only reason I can speak languages is because I've worked hard to learn them. I was very interested in learning them, and I did. It's sort of like, I would put it like this. It's like working out. We don't like working out. It's tedious, but we like the results. And, you know, so if you work hard in a foreign language, you'll get good results. Some people have to work harder than others, but everyone can learn a foreign language. It's never too late to learn.
Yeah, very good. Well said in English. Thank you very much, so that we understand what you're saying. And good luck getting to speak to the in-laws.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it.
Matt Russling, he's a journalist and speaks a whole bunch of languages, and so should you. And happy holidays to you and yours. And thank you for being on the program. So here's something for you. The CIA has lost what could have been a very important and effective advanced interrogation technique, because Mama June from Here Comes Honey Boo Boo has refused an offer to do a porno with Sugar Bear.
Oh, God.
She says, quote, "I have more respect for myself and my kids and my family. It ain't happening, not even for a zillion dollars."
The world is crying now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
no, we're not.
No Mama June porn, I'm sorry to say.
Well, my Christmas wish came true. Good thing. Yeah. All right.
Hey, that's it for hour one of the program. There's more to come, including what in the world is the matter with Scarlett Johansson's thighs? And ladies, the top 10 topics that make a man stop listening to you. Those stories and more are coming up in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.
You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show, where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about most. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, our travel guy takes you on a Euro Christmas vacation. Plus, a political pundit gets schooled on live TV by his mom. The friends are here. Aaron Myers, Jay Cavadonia, Chris Martin. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. Let's get things started this hour with you, Aaron. And the teenagers are very often getting involved in stuff that is going to stick with them for a long time in life. And what are they doing these days?
Well, apparently the government just did their annual drug use survey, and they found that teens are trying e-cigarettes more than trying regular cigarettes. So you might think, oh, that's good. But the worry is that e-cigarettes could then lead to real cigarettes. And they say about 16% of 10th graders have tried an e-cigarette in the past month, and 17% of high school seniors. And, you know, regular smoking has decreased, but they fear that that could
Because the e-cigs do have the nicotine.
They do have the nicotine. They don't have the tar and tobacco like cigarettes do, but it's still kind of a starting point that could lead to other things.
You want to know what prevents that? Good parenting.
That is true.
Just saying.
Some states actually make it legal for kids to buy e-cigarettes, so
I thought you had to be 18.
Not everywhere, no.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So well, I don't think you can get the nicotine unless you're 18, but there's e-cigarettes that don't have nicotine in them. Though.
Right.
Really?
But
yeah,
you can get the cartridges without it.
Yeah, they look like a crack pipe. I don't they do.
Well, that's what it leads to. That's
those
the slippery
kids,
slope.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Straight to crack?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Forget regular cigarettes, yeah.
Okay.
Just skip.
All right. Boy, they got some different laws in Texas, don't they?
They do, and this makes me sad as an animal lover, and I know, you know, dogs can get in trouble and do things they shouldn't do, but I feel the owners should be responsible. Well, I guess a Texas police department, their former deputy chief, shot his neighbor's German Shepherd dog that has escaped from the yard. And he said he shot it because they found the German Shepherd standing over their dead cat.
Oh.
So, I guess in Texas,
Jesus.
You're laughing at a dead cat.
It's just a massacre. I mean,
dead
moly.
Cat, dead dog. But I guess in Texas, there is a law that says that you can shoot or kill an animal that is attacking, about to attack, or has recently attacked livestock, domestic animals, etc. Is going to get away with shooting the
but
German
it's
Shepherd.
Texas. I'm surprised the pets didn't have guns themselves.
Yeah, right.
That'd be fair, at least. That'd be more fair, for
now,
sure.
Now that the family that owned the German Shepherd, do they have any recourse? Can they walk over and shoot the former deputy sheriff's daughter, for instance?
Or the sheriff himself.
Does it escalate?
Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, I have a little, like, what is it, the Clampets or something?
Yeah.
Or
not the Clampets.
Not the Clampets.
That was the Beverly Hillbillies.
I don't know. What is it? The ones, the families of Oregon.
The Hatfields and the McCoys.
Yes, McCoys. Clampets.
You were
close. Know, they're all country.
Yeah. Country. Yeah. All right. Well, they've got a dead dog, and maybe they could adopt one.
Well,
a new one.
A new one. There is a shelter in the Silicon Valley that is adopting out a little chihuahua. And they are being very honest about this little chihuahua. They call him Eddie the Terrible, and he's 2 years old. And they pretty much just say he's bad with kids. He's awful with other dogs. He's not going to pull Timmy out of a well and befriend a bunch of preschool kids. And they say he goes from zero to Cujo in 5 seconds. But they do say he has some good qualities as well. And they're hoping they can find just the right owner for Eddie the Terrible. And there's a picture of him with a...
His poo smells like roses, for instance.
Exactly.
That's one of the good things.
And he likes to cuddle on the couch with you. And he's good with one human.
Yeah.
Yeah. So chihuahuas I just thought it was cute.
Yeah, chihuahuas are typically like that. You know,
they
can just
be.
They're just like pissed off all the time.
They're flighty.
Little.
Yeah, you know. Well, like we have the 5-pound chihuahua at home, and it's a cuddle bug. That's all it is, and it barely barks. It's just, she's just a sweetheart. But we went to a friend's like Christmas party, and they have a chihuahua. And that thing was a complete jerk.
Yeah.
I was like, why do you have a dog like this? Hey, man, that's just the way they are.
Can you imagine if you're a chihuahua and somewhere in your subconscious you realize that you are a direct descendant of a wolf and some idiot
bred you to be the size of a teacup.
Right.
You're always afraid you're going to get stepped on.
Well,
the other dogs are bigger than you.
Yeah, and I always say, like, they're in a world of giants, you know? And it's like, you got to be careful when you sit down on the couch. They're probably running around in fear their entire lives.
You'd be angry, too, if you were running
around
scared.
By the way, chihuahuas, among canine species and breeds, the least leashed dogs.
That's about right.
That.
Yeah, I believe that.
Just walking around neighborhoods. But they always seem to find their way back for some reason, so maybe that's a talent. Here's one thing that in life that is, I don't know why it's necessary. You know, if you're in love, just proclaim your love and propose to your wife, your future wife, and get it done and over with. But it seems like they keep raising the bar on proposals, and it's getting out of hand, Jay.
It really is. And a guy out in the Netherlands probably took it to new heights. He rented a crane.
Okay. New heights. Okay, I got you.
That was my Phil joke of the day.
Yeah.
All right. So the woman, she lives in like townhomes, right? And her bedroom window is the upstairs room facing the outside of the street. So he rented a crane, and he had the idea to get in the, like, I think it's called, what is it, the cherry picker?
Yeah, the basket. Mm-hmm.
The basket.
Yeah.
And he's going to lower himself down to the window, play a song out of his ghetto blaster, whatever you want to call it.
Rapunzel.
Exactly. She's going to come to the window. He's going to propose, and all is going to be right with the world, right?
Yeah.
The crane fell on the house.
No!
I saw that picture.
See, he rented a crane, and apparently he didn't really know how to stabilize it before you...
They don't run you through a check first to make sure?
I'm sure they do, but you get so excited, and you got to put all the clamps down on the ground, and then you got to extend the boom.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, the boom went a little bit too far.
Yeah.
So I think that if you rent a crane, you should have to rent the crane operator as well. That
right?
should be a
exactly.
requirement. Yeah.
Exactly. Evidently, the crane destroyed 6 of the homes in the complex. There's no legal action yet or anything like that.
As a woman, are you a little offended that he thinks he needs a crane to lift you?
Oh, come on now. I don't think he's going to put her on the crane.
Well, it would have been
coming
handy.
Here, honey, this I knew could help you get all the way down to the ground with no problems.
get the most out of his rental fee.
No, that's terrible.
They're going to have a cheap wedding after all of what he's going to be paying neighbors,
right?
Probably.
But I agree with Phil. Mm-hmm. Just do it. Just pop the question. Just do it. Nice, simple. Don't go to the stupid, you know, your favorite sports team and have it up on the billboard.
I disagree with that, too. I mean, I don't think don't hire the dude in the tuxedo with the cello, you know.
Yeah. Just do it.
Yeah.
Just you two together, just do it.
If you're going to do anything, you stand in the front yard, you throw pebbles against her window, and then when she looks out, you're holding a boombox above your head.
There you go. And like John Cusack.
I'm trying to come up with a great song that would have fit the funny moment there. But
no. If you think of it later, feel free to just chime in.
Love Shack?
Yeah.
Baby Love Shack.
That'd be good.
Why
one,
not?
Right?
Yeah.
And then years later, all of a sudden, you're you're washing your kids. You're taking showers with your kids. They're little babies. There's nothing wrong about it. It's innocent. It's totally appropriate. You got to teach your kids how to wash themselves and all of that. And so, at what age, Chris, do you decide, or is there a rule? At what age is it appropriate and then inappropriate to be naked around your kids?
It's a good question, Phil, and it's obviously opinion-based. And I was tooling around on the internet, and I found an op-ed piece that was arguing what is the appropriate age or inappropriate age to be naked in front of your children. And I started reading through it. I thought it'd make good fodder. The writer of the op-ed piece said that her daughters were 7 and 8, and she still wasn't covering up, but shortly after that,
getting dressed and walking around, that sort of thing. But not bathing your kids at that age.
No. She wasn't bathing them, just not afraid to change in front of them, or if they were sharing the shower or bathroom at the same time, a couple of them would be naked. Another woman said her 12-year-old son still sees her and her father, and his father, excuse me, naked.
12.
And that he doesn't even hesitate to strip down in front of his mother. And there was some discussion in there, too, about like, okay, maybe a mom could be with her daughters naked a little bit longer, fathers with their sons a little bit longer, but the cross between the two gets awkward. I think that at the end, she decided that I guess it's up to the kids to decide when it's inappropriate or when they no longer want to do it.
So what is it? Wow. Is with that family, is it what? You wait for pubes? Is that it?
Or with the kids
Mom. Like weird. That's weird,
I don't want to see those.
Is it biological, the mom and the 12-year-old, or is it biological? Because if it's stepmom and your 12-year-old son...
He's never going to say a thing. He's going to be like, no, this is totally normal.
Yeah. This is great. Hey, let me change, too. No, these were all biological parents. And okay. But well, I think as soon as the baby can start to focus on anything, then
here's exactly what you're talking about. I have a personal experience that will maybe shed some light on this. Because I have three daughters. And the youngest daughter, Victoria, well, all of my girls started talking fairly young, you know, one and a half. They were carrying on conversations with adults, and we're proud of that. And my wife can't do everything. Mom can't do everything, right? So dad helps out with the bathing duties from time to time. And it's efficient, and you teach your kid how to shower, you know, if you go in the shower with them and you help them wash up, but you take your shower at the same time. So my youngest daughter, Victoria, at some point, this is the moment I knew it was now inappropriate to be naked around my daughter, Victoria.
I don't know if I want to hear this story.
She, sometime after a shower, you know, with my daughter, and again, nothing wrong with that, totally innocent, just parents parenting their kids. She goes to my wife and says, Mom, why does Dad's penis look like a chicken?
Oh, no. It's over.
Oh.
I would have left. I'm out. Bye.
Absolutely done at that moment. So that was it. That was the last time.
Let me ask you guys from a different angle, too. Do you guys have any problem being naked in front of your pets? You think there's anything up with that? Do you think your pets care?
Huh.
They don't care, right?
No, there's pet. Your pet is still in the house when you're having sex. And just kind of walking around, right?
But they're not at the end of the bed, right?
No, but they
they'll look at you,
Aaron,
probably.
You've got too many pets to hide.
Yeah.
I think they all stay on my bed just so that can never happen. There's like eight of them at once, and they're like, oh, like this is a safety zone, sanctuary.
I'm thinking if I'm dating Aaron and I make a move, one of those dogs is going to attack.
Not my dogs, but my cat will.
Oh.
I have a cat that has... pretty much, I dated two different people, and he's bit them both.
Okay.
See, I don't think the animals themselves are preventing you from having sex. I think just knowing the fact that you have eight animals in
your
house.
That's 16 eyes staring at you.
Oh, boy. Sorry. Judging eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So here's something we're going to cover next, and this will be helpful to you, Aaron. You might find this interesting and useful in your life. The average guy tunes out after 6 minutes of conversation.
That's longer than I thought.
Yeah, and I have the top 10 things that you can say to make him stop listening.
Six cats.
Next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, added.com after that, and you find our website, all sorts of things to find there, including how to listen to us on all the many players, the iTunes, the iHeart, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, whatever it is that you use, we're there. We're everywhere. Every couple in the world has argued at some point about how the guy tunes out during a conversation. In fact, every couple in the world has probably had that argument this week. A new study confirmed that it really does happen. They found the average guy stops paying complete attention to what his wife or girlfriend is saying after just 6 minutes. And here are the top 10 topics that make a guy tune out.
Oh, boy.
Hi, honey. No, just kidding.
No. Talking about people he's never met.
That's a tough one. Because you don't care.
You don't relate to it.
Right. They don't.
I don't care.
When she talks about her coworkers and other work issues.
Again, I don't know them. I don't care.
Yeah, right. Celebrities, specifically reality stars.
Again.
Kim Kardashian.
Eh. Who? What?
Who cares?
Fashion and shopping.
That's it. That I understand.
Oh, I could talk about that for hours.
Yeah, right.
You help me bag shop.
Other people's relationships.
Oh, that's the worst, because now you're just gossiping. Yeah. You don't know.
You know, you could diffuse a lot of these questions, you know, or these topics. Are they coming over for a little swingers thing or what?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And of course, I'm being...
Yeah. How dare you, Phil?
I'm being ludicrous, just to, you know, I'm being absurd. Anyway, what someone said or did on Facebook.
Ooh, and girls like to talk about that, I will tell you, because it gets very frustrating.
Yeah. Horoscopes.
That's funny.
What she had for lunch.
That's really on there?
Actually, that's a great topic.
Is it? You like that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what a smell what I had for lunch?
No, it's jeez, Christ, Phil, no. No, but like, you know, like I work locally. I work very close to the house, and she works in downtown L.A., so she gets to try all these cool new places.
Yeah.
So it's like.
That's vicarious living then.
Yeah, it's okay. And it's awesome, because then it's like, hey, if we're ever out there, maybe we'll hit this joint again, so you learn something.
I'm going to skip over one and save it for last. Dieting and nutrition.
That doesn't go well, probably, yet.
Yeah. And then the one that I skipped over that I thought I'd say for last, and it seems kind of sad, if she's, and you, and men, we tune out within 6 minutes if she's talking about her feelings.
Oh.
That's like 30 seconds, probably. Not even 6 minutes. Yeah. I'm so sad today. Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. Buck up, you know? Yeah.
Exactly.
We can't relate to sadness.
Oh, see, we're going to be tougher one of the days. Women are going to be just, we are tough, but we're going to switch roles.
Is it vice versa at all, by the way? What does a man talk about? Like, if we start talking about football or work, I mean, it's the same thing, right? You're going to nod off.
Work can get annoying.
How about trucks? Yeah. No? Mm,
trucks, probably not the best idea.
Yeah.
Work can get annoying. Is that really, like, what you guys would talk
electronics?
About? Electronics? Yeah.
Electronics,
ew. Yeah. Yeah. Not exciting.
Hot chicks.
Well, see.
Then that goes back to the celebrity.
Yeah.
See, if you can get her to talk about a celebrity that's hot, all you got to do is picture her, and she thinks you're listening.
Yeah.
Bada bing.
There you go.
Now you're in.
See, you're learning the tricks.
Just don't forget to disagree. She's all right.
Yeah.
No,
Scarlett Johansson, not pretty. Kim Kardashian,
right. You know, typically we reserve the animal stories for Aaron, but Jay, lately you've been pulling a bunch of them out of the hat.
You know what? I'm doing it. I'm kind of like the anti-Aaron because this this cat needs to be shot. So there's security camera. A fish store owner in Russia came into work one morning and he saw that his fish counter was completely destroyed. Went to his surveillance camera and saw that a cat had jumped onto his counter and just started going to town.
I call that a smart cat.
Yeah.
He destroyed over $1,000 worth of product, if you will.
Yeah.
And the store owner had to disinfect. He had to do everything. What?
Okay.
You're gonna defend the cat?
Yes,
now?
Because if you're in a store owner selling seafood, shouldn't it be kind of in a locked case and cold and not where a cat can actually get to it on a counter? I think that cat did people some favors. Nobody's gonna get sick from seafood on a counter.
This is Russia.
In Mazarasha.
Let's just say that. Mm-hmm. So anyways. Apparently the cat has been seen kind of milling about. The owner is trying to catch it.
And do
but
what
he has
it?
Not said his intent.
He'll sentence it to hard labor.
Oh, he might end up on the fish counter, to be honest with you. It is Russia.
Yeah. Aww. What's the one song that's on everybody's mind and they just can't get it out of their head?
Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down.
That's
never
gonna run around. Now you've destroyed us for the rest of the day.
Good job. That was funny.
No, it's that Disney movie. What's it called where that weird character freezes everybody?
Frozen.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Never saw it. But I heard
you're
the song
out,
a million
yeah.
times.
Yeah.
What's the song called?
So Is Everybody Else. Let It Go.
Yeah.
Sing that one
and
for
that's
us.
And that's what all the parents are trying to do is let it go. I think we all know the words. Director of Frozen, Jennifer Lee, is being bombarded by parents who just want to let the song go, but they can't. She says parents used to come up to her in droves and thank her for putting out the movie, thank her for all the music, tell her how much they loved it. Now the Oscar winner and highest grossing animated film ever is apologizing to parents because they have to listen to this song or watch the movie on a loop. Yeah. Day in and day out.
Well, it's not a bad song. It's a lovely, it's a lighthearted, pretty song, isn't it?
It is.
Wait, here, let's listen.
Let it go. Let it go.
That's Idina Menzel in the Devil Worshippers right there. No, that was Betraying the Martyrs, I'm sorry, with their version of Let It Go. Imagine you're a metal band and nobody knows who you are and you want to get some attention. 1.7 million people have watched that video.
Very smart.
Of them screaming. Yeah, there you go.
It's kind of catchy.
Bad. Yeah, it's a pretty song, isn't it?
Especially with that headbanging theme going on.
There. So, we were talking about what guys like to talk about a moment ago. Guys like to talk about Scarlett Johansson, do they not?
Why not?
Yeah. Is she? You pick like 10 topics that guys like. Scarlett Johansson's
she'll
one of them,
probably,
Aaron.
She'll
she's
come
like
up.
1 through 8.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, you guys, she does not think she's perfect. She was talking to Barbara Walters, and Barbara Walters said, "Do you like your body?" And she said that it's okay. It functions, but she says she doesn't like her thighs and her midsection. Well, but she's not complaining. She just says they're not her favorite parts.
We are.
You're complaining?
Well, you know what? That's like right where a good-looking girl's self-esteem needs to be. You know what I mean? It's like I still need to do work. I'm not perfect. I'm not as hot as you think I am. That's a grounded woman.
Does it make her more attractive then?
Yeah, but her thighs do need a little work.
No.
Oh.
Another quote for the Jay shaming app.
Yes, now all normal women are like, Jay.
Yeah. A little work there. That's all you need.
When Scarlett Johansson needs a little work, the rest of us are in trouble.
If the holidays have you thinking you just have to get away, our travel guy will let you in on his favorite European Christmas holiday next. It's Phil Hewlett and friends, and thanks for tuning in. All the extra traffic, crowds at the malls, heaps of pressure on your shoulders to get the holidays right. Why not just go online, book a flight and a couple of hotels, and get out of the country and see how they celebrate Christmas on the other side of the world? What do you say about that? Well, our travel guy, Gary Warner, is here.
Yep.
And, Gary, somebody over there brought Christmas here in the first place, after all, so why not see how it's done, and where would you start?
Well, if you talk about, depends on what we're defining as Christmas, of course. You know, Christmas begins in the Holy Land. But in terms of what we think of as modern Christmas, with, you know, Santa and presents and things like that, that really is a creation of the Victorian era, the early to late 19th century in Britain. And most of the stuff that we do now was brought over from there, or variations from Germany, you know, the Christmas tree and things like that. So this isn't something that goes back, you know, eons. It's a relatively new.
It's the whole Santa Claus Christmas thing where we've got the presents and putting on the red hat and handing out gifts and all of that sort of thing.
I still can't believe it's like a week away.
Yeah. No, wait a minute. What's the date today? We're going to do the math.
Today's the 16th.
Oh, then that's 9 days?
That's 9 days.
I've not even started
Unless you're
shopping.
Jewish, then Christmas starts today.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. Oh, first
Why
day
is that?
Of Hanukkah.
It's Hanukkah.
First day of Hanukkah. That's right. Light the first candle on the menorah.
Yeah.
Sundown today.
How many crazy days, according to Adam Sandler?
Eight crazy days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
According to the movie.
All right, so...
Sorry about that, guys.
That's
I had
okay.
I go out and sign for a package, I guess, out front.
One of the Christmas... on the list of Christmas gifts guys should never give to women. Anyway, so where you're starting with in England, Old England?
Well,
is that where we are?
Yeah, well, my favorites, and I'm gonna stick pretty much to my favorites, is London. London is just a great city. It's really the birthplace in a lot of ways of modern Christmas. They do it up great. There's ice skating everywhere. What started out in just a few places is now you can barely go anywhere in London and not have a huge outdoor ice skating rink. Run into the London Eye is fantastic. So you can go out and you can go ice skating and then go up in the eye and see all the colors of the city all around you. It's fantastic.
And then you could jump on the train and go through the tunnel, as they call it. But
That's right.
But over there in Paris, the French are too intolerable. It can't possibly be a festive place this time of year, can
it? It's a very festive place. They just do it with a little bit more style. You know, the London is a little bit gaudy. You'll have huge wooden soldiers next to the Fordham and Mason shop in London, whereas in Paris they do it with a little...
Yeah, it's like very romantic.
Yeah, and it's the city of lights after all, and you've got all of that. But you know, if you've been to Paris, they're a little. Did they lose the snooty thing, Gary?
Well, I think they've lost the snooty thing. I think the snooty thing has always been overrated. But you know, you don't have to have a lot of exchange with people to just enjoy Christmas. Some of my favorite things are strolling around with a hot chocolate or a chocolate crepe from a stand on the street,
yeah,
or getting some of those great roasted chestnuts that they do, and just a little bag of them and walk down the Champs-Élysées with all the lights.
Yep.
That's just a fantastic experience. The food's great, and the French far and away make the best hot chocolate in the world.
Do they? And I like the crepe with the Grand Marnier on it. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I do know it. And what's wonderful about it is that the stands start showing up in the parks. And just to walk through the Tuileries Garden and with all the trees bare and a chocolate crepe, you really feel like you're in this beautiful winterland.
Wow, how about that? But talk about winterlands. Wouldn't you go, like, to the Alps or someplace?
Yeah. Like an area called the Bernese Oberland, which basically means the area above Bern. But that's around Interlaken, Grindelwald, Muren, Wengen. These are little towns that just look like something right out of the old Heidi movie or
this
something like that.
This is like Swiss and German around that
Swiss,
area?
German-Swiss area. Yeah. You know, the Switzerland has a German area, an Italian area, and a French area. And I like the German area the most. The Italian area is nice, too. But these are nice-sized towns, and there's enough going on, but it's not that city experience that you get in London. Impressed, but it's just it looks like Christmas is supposed to look,
yeah,
you know, with snow and you'll get the sleds being pulled by reindeer and things like that.
Mm-hmm. All right,
so you can probably also eat reindeer, by the way, if you want to do that.
Oh yeah, they do that in a lot of places. Finland is another one. But how about a place that we wouldn't think of?
Well, I don't know about wouldn't think of, but most people go to Iceland because of and they go in the summer. Because it gets very cold there. Although there's a long story about how the Vikings tried to throw off people by calling Iceland and Greenland, when really Greenland is icy and Iceland has some green. But anyway, what they have there that's fantastic is the Northern Lights. If you can capture them, there are places out in the countryside. There's not a lot of light pollution where the Northern Lights really light up. That those green, wavy, just extravaganzas of light. And the great thing about Iceland and about Europe in general is that these places know that they're cold. They've been cold for hundreds of years. So they've built these, you know, this internal life. Great cafes, you know, wonderful little centers, places you can go into and warm up and then go out in the freezing cold.
But don't you choke from the sulfur in the air from all the volcanoes there in Iceland?
Well, you know, if you can get on the ground underneath one of the volcanoes, no. But you do have to be careful, yes. If you get too close to some of the vents, just like at Yellowstone, you can inhale this stuff. And we'll have to talk about Iceland someday because it's a fantastic place. It's the other side of the San Andreas Fault is over there. So you can visit where our plate sort of ends over there.
Yeah, you can see what it's going to look like here in 20 years, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, well, I don't know about 20 years, probably more like 10.
Yeah.
The thing that you have to watch out for is they have these great hot baths all over the country that you can go into.
Oh, these are springs, naturally heated by the volcanoes, yeah.
Right. But people like to go out to the natural ones that are just like a hole somewhere in the side of a mountain. But you can get bursts of ultra hot water coming out of those, because they're basically just, it's the water that's being heated by the volcano. And if the volcano decides to turn it up 100 degrees, you know, they're not going to send you a note or anything like that.
Oh, so you could inadvertently get scalded. So you
get the thing where people get scalded on that. They do. There are people who inhale the
sulfur fumes.
The sulfur fumes, thank you. And there's also people who just get exposure, because we're not talking about an area with a lot of trees. These are the flanks of volcanoes, and if a winter storm comes in, it's there's just nowhere to hide.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful place to visit, Gary. So
I love it. It's primordial. You know, it's a great spot. But the lights. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Good.
There. Yeah. But London's number one.
Yeah.
Because London is really a series of small villages, and every one of them competes against each other in a different style. You can get sort of a Rastaman one up in Notting Hill, and more traditional down in Kensington.
And can you book a last minute? Like, if I wanted to go and I decided today that I wanted to go maybe tomorrow, could I pull that off?
You could. The only thing I would stay away from is weekends. That's when the people from the countryside come into the cities and they'll book up the rooms.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to go during the week, you could. And it's not quite like Thanksgiving, which, you know, they don't have, so you can just go anytime you want. But I've never had trouble going that time of year. It's a wonderful time.
And you want to avoid those people from the countryside at any cost, because, you know, some of them are French, for goodness sakes.
Well, yes. Or in Paris, it gets full of English day trippers. So, you know, it just depends on the thing. You got to think about Parisians and French.
I've got issues to deal with.
You've got issues. We'll work them out over a course of time. Okay?
Thank you, Gary. We'll talk to you next week, and have an enjoyable time. Until then.
I'm having a great time.
Okay.
Good talking with you.
Bye. All right. Bye. All right. There he goes, Gary Warner. He's our travel guy. And up next on the program, you know you're in trouble when everybody's watching you on TV and then all of a sudden mom calls up. That's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and not back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. And before you waste an hour wrapping Christmas presents, check out this video. It's called Gift Wrapping Hack. Instead of, and we have the video on the show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com. Instead of centering a box in the middle of the paper, the trick is to start with one of the corners, and you can wrap the gift in 10 seconds flat.
What?
You got to watch the video.
That's craziness. You're just talking crazy.
It's not crazy talk.
Yeah. I guarantee I couldn't wrap a gift in 10 seconds if I watched that video 100 times.
Yeah.
I'll just stick it in a bag. That's my kind
Put
of wrapping right
it.
There.
Done. Time.
Yeah, that's it. Time. Stop the timer. All right, so it's interesting being on the radio and being on TV, because some of your worst critics are your own family.
Oh, God, yes.
Jay, and what happens? What happened on C-SPAN?
Well, these two guys, they're two pundits who happen to be brothers, Dallas Woodhouse and his brother Brad Woodhouse. Now, Dallas is a Republican, and Brad is a Democrat, and they were on this show called Washington Journal with Steve Scully. I've never watched C-SPAN a day in my life, so I have no idea how the big voice
comes. How do you stay informed?
You know, I find my own news, you know, and I create enough anyway. But anyways, so they're arguing bipartisanship. Who's playing both sides? Who's this? Who's that? And I guess they got into a bit of an argument. And then they got a call from Joy.
Let's go to Joy. Go to Joy in Raleigh, North Carolina. Good morning.
Hey, somebody from down south.
Well, you're right. I'm from down south.
Oh, God, it's mom.
And I'm your mother.
And I disagree that all families are like ours. I don't know many families that are fighting at Thanksgiving.
Is this really your mother?
No, this is her mom.
I was very glad that this Thanksgiving was a year that you two were supposed to go to your in-laws. And I was I'm hoping you'll have some of this out of your system when you come here for Christmas.
Yeah, we were not really together this Thanksgiving. We are most years.
I would really like a peaceful Christmas. And I love you both.
Hey, now let me jump in because this was not planned. She called in on the normal.
Yeah, well, who cares if it's not planned? It was just mom had a point to make and she made it.
Uh-huh. I love that. And getting in the holidays, you're going around, you know, all your family and they're like, yeah, you know, I heard this on the radio or I heard this on Phil Hewlett and Friends. You know, you could have said it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
It's like, really? Mm-hmm.
I can't change what happened.
Yeah,
sorry.
I did a game show for a while, and they made me dye my hair blonde.
Oh.
My grandma used to call me and tell me to wear a hat. Mm-hmm. She's like, you look horrible as a blonde, honey. You need to wear your hair pulled back or a hat.
Right.
I'd like to see that picture.
It was, I had to get spray tans.
You know, if I do a TV show, I'm just certain my mom will call and say, it's hot in that studio. Shouldn't you take off your coat?
Yeah, something. Of course.
I love that the mom in that clip was pleased that they're going to their in-laws to go work out their angst. You know,
awesome.
She's like, good. I hope you guys fight and get it all out of your system because I want a peaceful Christmas.
Oh, gosh.
Good for mom.
Yes, exactly. All right. So do you still believe in the tooth fairy?
No.
Are you asking us for real?
Yeah, I am.
No.
I ask that many rhetorical questions.
Well, I don't, but there was a little girl who just is now grown up who put on Reddit a letter that she found that she had written when she was 9 years old. And she said, Dear Tooth Fairy, this is the second time you've done this. You forgot me. So if you're not going to come, then I'm going to keep my own teeth. You are through collecting teeth from Jennifer. From now on, I'm keeping my own teeth. Unsincerely, Jennifer E. P.S. Keep collecting from Mike, though. Obviously, you like him better.
Ooh.
And P.P.S. Don't bother to write back. And
apparently,
this young woman...
Brutal.
Back in the day, didn't believe in the tooth fairy.
What a little snob.
Bet she found a 20 under her pillow on the next
tooth. No, actually, now that you mention that, the tooth fairy said, they wrote a letter back, and the tooth fairy said, I couldn't get to your pillow the night before last because I got stuck in all the mess. Maybe if you clean your room, I could get to you in a timely manner.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for the parents. That's good parenting.
Way to go, tooth fairy.
And by the way, it's insincerely, not unsincerely.
Yeah.
Really
just corrects her grammar.
Yeah, that would be funny.
And your A was backwards, you idiot.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
Tooth fairy's mean.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
No Christmas gifts for that girl either.
Parents are out getting wasted.
Oh, by the way, according to a new survey, 18% of people have not bought any Christmas presents yet and won't start until this Sunday.
Oh, that's me.
You really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
We knocked it all out last weekend.
Did you?
Smart.
Well, 90%.
Look at you. That's good.
Yeah. We just said, you know what? It's time to, you know, get up, get going, get it done. And then about, I don't know, maybe about 8 hours into it, I'm like, I need a drink.
Did you go to the mall? Did you go to the
stressful.
Mall?
We went around the mall. You know, didn't go through the mall.
The ancillary stores that are on the outside
exactly.
and around it.
Like, okay, and if we've got to go across the mall, oh, no, we're getting out of the mall, in the car, we'll drive all the way around.
To the other side.
Pop in, pop out. That's the best way to do it.
Yep.
One shot, one deal.
All right. You know who just is the gift that keeps on giving if you're an NBA fan and if you're a Lakers fan, too, is Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant's the man.
Is he, Chris?
Well, he's a legend. You know, we're all going to have our discussion about does he shoot the ball too much? Does he not pass enough? Is he selfish? Blah, blah, blah. But this Sunday, Kobe Bryant broke Michael Jordan's scoring record against the Timberwolves, and he's now third all-time in NBA history for scoring points. He has something like 32,300 points.
That's a lot, isn't it?
It's that's a lot of points. It takes a lot to get that many. And, of course, Nike jumped on the bandwagon and immediately released the new $250 Mamba Moment limited edition basketball shoes.
Jeez.
They even come in the glow-in-the-dark edition, so
that's
you might
cool.
want to go cop those.
They got all those Cambodian kids to make those in that short notice?
That's it. Working them overtime. It's actually overtime over there is time and a quarter, not time and a half.
Ba-da-boom.
Oh, gosh.
So now the question is, can he get to number two? Karl Malone sits at number two. He's about 4,700 points away from that.
Which that's like three seasons away. Huh?
Could be two if he played, you know, unconscious for two seasons, but it's not realistic. So three seasons, and then it takes something like four and a half season to get to Kareem if he wanted to get to number one.
Not going
to
happen because this is what, Kobe's 19th season?
Yeah, he's 36 years old, but the guy does take care of himself, and you know, he's still going
out
there and
he's
doing it.
But he had a bad injury last season, knocked him out for 90% of the season.
Two injuries in the knees, too, which how long are those going to last?
Yep. Exactly.
Now he has a bad team, so he's not getting much help.
Right.
Well, he gets to shoot more.
That's true.
Yeah, but he went 18 for 26 the other night. That's bad. Mm-hmm. That's bad news. You can't do that.
18
you know?
For 26
is not bad. That's over 50%. You might have
that's huge.
Yeah.
No, 18. Maybe I do. Maybe it's
it might have been 26? Like 9 of 26, which he does often to that too. Effect. By the way, yeah.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Maybe I do have it.
No, 18 for 26.
I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm
awesome.
Not the sports guy around this joint.
No.
The hell am I doing?
I don't know.
Sorry about that.
But you know your computers.
I do. I definitely know my computers. Speaking of Steve Jobs. Oh. May he rest in peace.
Yes.
He had the Apple One. You guys know what that is?
Sure.
It's basically a shoebox with a circuit board in it.
Yeah.
It was the first computer, the first Apple product, okay? It was supposed to be – it was in an auction, supposed to go for million, two, somewhere to that effect, right? It only went for $350,000.
What happened?
Nobody cares.
Really? Yeah. A shoebox, yeah.
Nobody cares. You know, it really just isn't anything. The only thing that you're buying it for is nostalgia. You're going to put it on a shelf and talk about it?
Yeah.
Well, that's when you invite people over and you're like, look what I have.
So am I an idiot? I've got the Apple II GS, the Steve Wozniak edition. It's got a signature on it. Did
I
you
had
have that
one of those? I did, growing up.
Mine's in a box. It's still operational. It's a whole bunch of boxes, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for the Smithsonian to call. But, you know, it's taking up space.
Do you have the big, 3.5 floppy disk drive?
Oh, yeah, I've got that, and I had the smaller drive, and I upgraded my RAM to 12K.
No.
You want to know how long it takes girls to stop listening? That was a good example right there.
Oh,
right.
Come on.
Well, right there.
You know what? You might learn something.
Here's a popular topic for you, Aaron. September is the most popular month for birthdays, and if you don't want to be a contributor to keeping that statistic alive, then keep things safe over Christmas. New study found that women are more likely to get accidentally knocked up over the next 2 weeks than any other time of the year.
I'm saying holiday parties at work.
Well, here's some of the reasons.
The voice of experience?
No.
More than half of women in the study said they'd forgotten to take their birth control pill, used the morning after pill, or had an unplanned pregnancy happen over the Christmas season. More than half. The main reasons are, as you pointed out, drunken partying, which leads to risky decisions, and all the hectic rushing around and family time makes it easier to forget to take your pill.
Interesting.
And the study also found that 1 in 14 women who've used the morning after pill had to get it after their office Christmas party.
Oh, I knew it.
Dirty,
I knew it.
Dirty women.
So the girls need chastity belts during the holidays, is what you're saying.
Yeah. No, yes. Just a little self-control would be great.
That too. Yeah.
I got an idea. Quit acting like a whore.
Yeah.
Hey, it takes two to tango. There a guy involved in
yes.
this?
There often is a guy involved.
Yeah, the baby daddy.
The baby daddy? What is
That's
this?
That's what he will be.
Is this the Maury Povich show all of a sudden? Hey, we love your comments. Click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. There's a little form there you can fill out. We're on Twitter at FAF Show, facebook.com/philhewlettandfriends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers, Jay Capadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.